Our next speaker is from the Apollo Bay Affordable Housing Task Force, and he has inspired a revolving door of politicians wanting to help save his town from the Sea Change Brigade, which removes housing opportunities for locals. Please welcome Bob Knowles.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. It's very delighted to be invited. I was probably the least equipped president of a Chamber of Commerce that ever got elected to office 3-odd years ago. In fact, I was about to leave the Chamber of Commerce, thinking these guys just talk a lot of flannel and don't get much done. Then someone turned and said, well, why don't you drive? And having been critical, one steps up and does what one can. So that was a big learning curve for me, but certainly it was about 12 months in and the affordability things began to bite in Apollo Bay. And so we held a forum. We got the town together and the local council and looked at the issue. And largely we approached it as an economic one. You know, people couldn't afford to live here anymore, and workers couldn't afford to live here anymore, most importantly. And without workers, we wouldn't have schools and we wouldn't have the services and, you know, and on it goes. Our first initiative, which is really interesting, it was sort of a little insight into human nature. We thought, what can we do now? What can we do immediately? And so we, with the council's assistance, we thought we were writing to all the non-resident landowners in the event the dear old council wrote to everybody. But we wrote the letter, and the letter said, this place that you love is at risk. If you can afford to rent your house to someone who works here on a permanent basis instead of seasonally, please do so. I mean, it was longer than that, but that's what it said. The result of... So 2,500 letters went out. 12 people responded. More than 12 responded by phone and by other mechanisms, but 12 houses were liberated for the affordable. 6 people phoned their real estate agents and said, there's a housing shortage, put the rent up. Now, we did have a net benefit, and some houses, some people contacted the health service, which is our biggest employer in Apollo Bay, and offered housing, and they achieved a couple of houses that way. But it does reveal this dichotomy, this problem, the fundamental issue that we're dealing with. With the passage of time and then with COVID sending prices insanely high, the human face of this issue became more and more obvious to me, and people that you know in the street in a small town, when you see people who have never had to suffer with rental stress before, suddenly wondering where they're going to live, it's very, very challenging. What's more challenging, it's infuriating in fact, is attempting to communicate the nature of this problem, of the human nature of this problem, to fucking bureaucrats, you know, to people in who tick boxes for a living. We have had some joy from some politicians. Andy Medic and Stuart Grimley responded positively and engaged with us. And some folks, we had some interesting conversations with some, you know, and some were working on that kind of responses from people. So that's kind of the background. One of the things that I believe in a bit of serendipity in the world, a bit. So it's a very long time ago that the Henry George League phoned me and said, would you help us with marketing? And I said, what the hell is the Henry George League? You know. So I had a quick lesson in Georgist economics, and I was impressed, I must say. And that's how you got to have the name Prosper Australia. When we were writing the material for that, and I should have grabbed the book, because it fell out of in the back of my studio the other week. We prepared a number of advertisements because we knew... What we essentially said to the group at that time was, ideas like this only ever get up in times of great crisis or in times of wonderful prosperity, when people are feeling brave and experimental. And we have neither. We had neither at that time. We are approaching the crisis now. So we thought that any advertising we did would need to be shocking. And one of the ads we wrote, that I wrote, was a photograph of the Lest We Forget Memorial. And the headline said, "The land they fought and died for is precisely what's killing us now." And it went on to tell the story of the economics, the phony economics of land ownership and, you know, the Georges thing. I think that, and you all think as well, that the time is coming when people understand that your house is not a profit centre. I am very fortunate, we are very fortunate, to have 10 acres. And when we bought it, it was covered in blackberry. And we understand ourselves to be the custodians of that land without any, you know, pure and simple. And that idea is well understood by lots and lots of people, most of them much younger than me. The issue lies with the fences and the failure, the absolute failure of us as a group, as a society, to see those people. I mean, the other night on the news, there was a story of a young woman with a couple of kids who was living in a tent, and I'm not sure if it was in Byron or wherever it was, but it was at the end of the news, and it may as well have been a new breed of dog. You know, it was a human interest story at the end of the news. This was not the vitally important issue that it should have been. Carl and I went to a seminar. We had a couple of ministers, local government people all over the place at Creswick. Was it Creswick? Yeah. And a woman spoke wonderfully about a book she'd written. The name escapes me for the minute, I'm old. But she prefaced her conversation with saying, "I could not have written this book when I was homeless. I could not have made this contribution when I was homeless." You know, the cost, and the more infuriating thing is, in little old Apollo Bay, we have dug out some statistics. We have discovered that we could employ 123 more people in a town of 2,500. That's pretty impressive. 123 more people if we could have houses for them to live in. The Bendigo Bank has appointed two bank managers who have accepted the position and then said, "I'm sorry, I can't come because I can't find a house I can afford." School teachers, policemen, firemen, you know, I'm not just talking baristas and, you know, the whole gamut of folk can't afford to come, and nurses and doctors, we help a lot. We're lucky at the moment with doctors. Can't afford houses to live in. So we counted them up. And I said to, at one of our, because of the local council, of course, joined our task force. Absolutely, I will be in the task force. And so I presented the figures to the task force, and I said, "Can you give us some economic modelling that demonstrates the actual cost of not employing these people?" You know, that was a year and a half ago. I've just recently spoken to the REMPLAN people, who said, "We've got software for that. As a matter of fact, the council's got software for that. It would take them an hour to feed in the information and give you that data." And from the Minister Shing, I sought data about, you know, to sort some economic modelling on which we need desperately, as Carl will tell you, to build the case for whatever we're going to do. And I asked her about data from the floor, and she said, "Oh yes, we have all the data. We have all the data." She said, "It's here, here, and here." And I said, No. I need the information from the data." And of course, it wasn't forthcoming, and they don't have it, and they're not inclined to find it, which drives me nuts. We need to change that. So I don't want to keep going on, because that's a lot of the problem. The solution lies in finding people who understand, finding people. And you know them. And if you don't know them, you can make yourself known to them. And talking to them about the issue and what they can do about it. And what they can do about it is advocate, understand Carl's model. I don't personally believe it's the... I think this is a multifactorial thing. There'll be a whole raft of possibilities. We've written to government even suggesting that they give a further tax concession to property owners if they rent their houses to essential workers. Why not? Why not try anything? And we're currently, on a bright note, we have in Apollo Bay a young woman who's on the Chamber of Commerce who is in the business of needing staff and also in the business of managing holiday properties. And she noticed that a couple of her holiday properties were underperforming. So she got on the phone to those two landlords and said, you know what, for $10,000 a year less, you could have a permanent resident that will cut your grass for you and won't kick the doors in at Christmas time. And so she liberated two houses like that. So there are lots and lots of ways to come at this thing. On census night, you know, this is the size of the problem. On census night in Apollo Bay, and I'm sure in lots of other resort places, there were 1,350 unoccupied houses. 1,350. We only need 100.
9 out of 10 houses in Deadhead are vacant holiday houses.
Yeah.
9 out of 10.
It's shocking. It's truly shocking, the waste of that resource. So we need to have these conversations. We certainly need to educate and advocate. And I'm happy to be part of. Sometimes I get tired because the ice caps are melting faster, and that's another issue. But they are. Then this thing is moving at the moment. But we do need to advocate, and we do need to bring people to understand that a house to live in is, as that woman said, you know, I couldn't have written a book. I can't do a job. I can't be in your society if I don't have a house to live in. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.